Welcome to another episode of Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. I am Anu, and with me today is
Joseph Kolawole.
Hola.
Today we'll be talking about a proverb on deception. It's really interesting. I'll hand over to Joseph to read out the proverb and tell us the meaning, and then we both will discuss what we'll later share on it. Thank you. Over to you, Joseph.
Thank you. Today's proverb says, Eke moile re owo odale motire obidano. I'll take that again. Eke moile re owo odale motire obidano. And in the translation of that to English goes, the devious person builds a house and it collapses. The treacherous person builds one and it tumbles in ruins. I'll take that again. The devious person, when he builds a house, it collapses. The treacherous person builds one and it tumbles in ruins. I think the implication or the deduction, the meaning is pretty straightforward from those two sides. That whether one is devious or treacherous or a deceiver, or what you could categorize as evil people, the point is whatever dubious things they are trying to do will not prosper, and that eventually they will not profit, or ultimately they will not profit from their enterprise. That's the proverb. I mean, it brings to mind two things. The fact that the proverb says that there is a building, like this dubious, devious, treacherous person actually successfully builds something. It says the devious person builds a house, even though, of course, it goes on to say it collapses. The treacherous person builds a house, even though it will go on to say it tumbles and ruins. So the point is, the first point that I'm bringing from the proverb is to say, yes, actually, the dubious, the devious, the treacherous, the evil person can build. It can look like they are actually achieving something, but there is an ultimate end, and the proverb is ascertaining the fact that anybody that chooses the line of betrayal, that chooses the line of treachery, that chooses the line of being devious or dubious, can be sure that there is going to be a consequence, there is going to be an outcome, and it is not favorable. And so even on a moralistic, practical, everyday relationship sense in which the proverb would be usually used and meant, the proverb is challenging us, admonishing us to choose the path that is not the path of treachery, to choose the path that is not the path of being devious or dubious, to choose the path that is not the path of the crafty. But then when you bring in or draw in the biblical tangent, then it's, to me, both a reminder and an affirmation of the fact that whatever force or forces we are combating against in our everyday life, we can be assured of victory because those forces cannot prevail. Job chapter 5 is a very apt chapter to describe this. He says in chapter 5 verse 3, I have seen the foolish. This is the Amplified Classic edition. I have seen the foolish taking root and outwardly prospering. But suddenly I saw that his dwelling was cursed, for his doom was certain. Then he goes on to say many things about that foolish person that is seemingly taking root. It speaks about his children, it speaks about his harvest, it speaks about all sorts of things happening to him. And then by the time he gets to verse 12, he says that, now speaking about God, he frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise or anything of lasting worth. And verse 13 says, he catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemers is brought to a quick end. So this is literally the proverb we've just considered played out in biblical terms. In other words, in our prayer, in spiritual warfare, when you're trying to wrestle against things that are not flesh and blood, principalities and powers, manipulations of the devil, we know that all of these forces of darkness, as a generic term for them, can be ascribed or affiliated to the devil. And we know that the devil is described more often than not in the scripture as the epitome of deception, of craftiness, of deviousness, of treachery. And in that sense, you can be assured of victory in your prayers of spiritual warfare, whatever that is like, whether you're praying against, you know, the spirit behind some sicknesses or misfortune or delay or whatever it is, you can be assured. I mean, Job chapter 5 verse 12 and 13 is a scripture that I would readily quote when I'm praying in that regard, to say the Lord frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise or anything of lasting worth. The Lord catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemers is brought to a quick end. The devious person, no matter the edifice he or she is building, no matter the kind of, you know, the challenge they are building up against the righteous, we can be sure that that mountain shall be made low, because at the end of the day, the devious person's house will come tumbling down. Whatever they build will come collapsing in a matter of time. That's the tangent that I am seeing it from, as a weapon of assurance in spiritual warfare, and indeed as a weapon or as a challenge to godliness, to godlike, Christ-like character, rather than choosing the path of treachery or the path of craftiness or the path of, you know, untruthfulness and unrighteousness. So what comes to mind about it, Anna?
Yes, I am. Whilst we were talking, I appreciated your tangent as well. We know this assurance that they will come to, all of their evil plans will come to. But some people, some Christian, they base the whole of their Christian journey fighting these evil people, bashing against the wall. They keep bashing. Prayers are on this warfare, which means that it's not holistic. If it becomes the core, if all you're guarding against is the trickiness, is these devious people and their treachery and their betrayal and their backstabbing, then it's not wholesome, in the sense that the Bible did say that it's sending us sheep among wolves. So there's a certainty that something is out there, out to get us. But we are not walking, we're not walking in the fear of what is out there, but we are walking in the safety of who is sending us out there. So in the it's a fact, because I'm Yoruba. Mostly we Yorubas, I'm generalizing now, but what I've seen from Yoruba is we are always wanting to fight against people that are that would do something to us, that would do something to our children, that would, there's much warfare going out there, and we've made the enemy our focus. And it gives him power, because Job said, what I feared most has happened to me. So if we make fear the base of our Christianity, then there's no progress, so to say. The devil is sitting there just laughing. But what God has done for us is he has won the victory. He has called us more than conqueror. It's as though the house has been built. He has given us the key to enter. But whilst we're standing at the door, we are shouting and asking for the ability to enter. Whilst we have the key in our hands, and I just want to say, as well as taking in Paul's tangent on the assurance of what we have, we should also bear in mind that greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world.
Yep.
I'll read out Matthew 5. This was the chapter that had this sermon on the month. So I'm reading from the NLT version. From verse 48, it says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, with exclamation mark. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So, yes, they're dubious people. Yes, they're betraying people. But I don't think that should be our core goal. Like, whether they do their bits is not really important. What's important is that in the midst of their betraying and their backstabbing, you remain as a true child of God. You remain as an Omoluabi. A child that was born but has reborn himself. Is that correct?
Omoluabi. The Lord of character has reborn you.
Yeah, so we are born anew in Christ. It's very certain that the wicked will meet they would meet their fate. But have you ever seen occasions where a wicked person would be wicked for many, many years, and then all of a sudden they will turn around and say, "Oh, I've given my life to Christ. I'm not a born again." One part of your mind will be like, "Oh, nice." The other part will be like, "Eh? So all those things you've done, what happened to them?" That's why I know that that's been how this Spirit has been teaching me. But it's not about the ladies who talk about you at your back in a very bad way and say things you haven't done or misinterpret your words. And then they'll come to you and say, "Hey, sister, no, your shoe is kiniko, your hair is kiniko, your kiniko is kiniko." It's not about them. I don't see what they're saying. I'll try looking beyond their falsehoods to the Christ who is leading me to love them. Like the Amplified Version talks about, and when it says love your enemy, it's not just love or the emotion, that the gushy rushy feeling. It's an action. It's as though you're intentionally seeking the best of another person, in spite of their character, in spite of their behavior, in spite of the output. And sometimes it pains me to do it, to be honest. The human part of me want to fight, but like, nah, we should ignore this person. But then this person say, go and say hello, go and say hi, go touch them, rub their cheek, go say you're looking good today. Go talk to the people you rather avoid. Their betrayal would come. They will backstab. It's as normal as breathing. You won't say you want to be in this world and you will scale through so perfectly. What we're told is that 100 will fall by our side and 1,000 by our right, but no one will come to us. That means there will be a falling, there will be a shaking. But in the midst of the shaking, we are safe, we are sane, our mental health is fine. I'm just saying that we should not borrow trouble by looking at all these people and their deviousness, but seek to rely on God's power, and He then feeds us the inspiration and the prayer to pray against what's coming or what is at the moment. That's what I'm getting from this proverb.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we are urging you to take that into your week, on the one hand, to be reassured that God's got your back. And you are on the victor's side. The victory is certain. It destroys the plans of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Mm. And on the other hand, go out there and love upon everyone without suspicion, knowing fully well that love, Bible says, conquers
all things.
All. And that's where we leave you for this week. And we hope to be back next week with another episode. Till then, just remain and
Omoluabi.
God bless you.